Adonai Shaftai Tiftach Uvi Yagid Tehilataka. Adonai, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. And that is from Tehillim 51, verse 15. Now, Tehillim is the Psalms. I recommend that all of you buy Tehillim. And, rather than reading them out of the King James Version. Well, let's just sound the solemn assembly and make sure the people in the lobby can to know we're doing something in here. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about the Shemona Esrei. Everybody really in here should have one of these. When we went to Israel in 93, got off the plane, and all the Jewish people, they got off and they davened, they did daven shacharit, early morning prayers. And they all had their little book, very good book. And this one is interlineal. So you have the Hebrew and the English, but it has all of the Shemona Esrei. It has all of the different prayers and the different variations, because how many of you know there are variations of the prayers? And every Shabbat, when we gather, we do a prayer from the Shemona Esrei, but it is not from the weekly Shemona Esrei. It is one that is done specifically on Shabbat. And so it's wonderful. I love it because it talks about Yeshua. And he is Yeshua Tenu. He is our deliverer. And every one of you should get one of these. They're very inexpensive, and I have my name written in mine because you don't want them to disappear. But what I did is I went through and in a nice little pen, and I wrote down the numbers, number one, number two, all of the different prayers, all of the Shemona Esrei. We did number 12 today in the session. And that is the anti-Christian prayer. if you want to, you can write down the information. But if you do that and we have a group this size, be sure and don't write slowly and legibly. Write quickly so that you can get it, so everybody can write it down. You should write that down. It's good to have that information so that you can pick that up. The art scroll. We are talking about the Shemona Esrei. The Hebrew word Shemona Esrei means 18. And 18. So I'm going to have Mary pass these out. This is just a little extra thing for you. Amidah. When we say Amidah, we are saying the same thing. It's the Shemona Esrei is sometimes referred to as the Amidah. So when you're looking in prayer books, sometimes they will look like this. They'll be laid out and it'll say Amidah. And it's talking about the Shemona Esrei, the 18 prayers. And we love these. They're wonderful. When we look at the very first one, the Our Father, the one about the patriarchs, we have, is everybody looking at their book? The very first one, thank you. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu, ve'lohe avoteinu, Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzchak, Elohe Yaakov, Ha'el Hagadol, Ha'gibor Hanora, El Elyon, Gomel Hasadim Tovim, Ve'kone Ha'kol, Ve'zocher Chasde Avot, Umevi Goel Lifne B'neihem, Laman Shmo Be'ahava. Melech Ozer U'Mashiach U'Magan Baruch Atah Adonai Magan Abraham. That is the very first one. These are all sung. I really enjoy the second one, Atah Gibor. Atah Gibor Le'olam Adonai. And it goes on and on and on, you know. But why are we studying these? Why should we study these? Why should we know anything about the Shemona Esrei? One of the things that is very interesting, and I actually have in the handout, number 12 is against heretics. And believe me, this was added because if you notice, even though it says Shemona Esrei 18, the Hebrew 18, there are 19, which really spoils the type. How many of you know that? You know, 18 gives us 9. And 18 times 3 gives us 54, which is 9. And when you divide that into 3 times a day, what do you have? You have 3 threes, which is really one of the interesting things about Scripture is that we have all of these threes, don't we? Constantly running into that. So number 12 was added. I really don't say a whole lot about number 12 because we don't really need to. But I'm going to read something from Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. You should write that down. Daniel 6 and verse 10. And we're going to take a look at this. The Shemona Esrei has been around for a long, long time. And they came out of the Babylonian captivity. You see it. And Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he had the window toward Jerusalem open. And he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. In other words, he had been doing this his life. This was his pattern. He prayed Shacharit. He prayed in the morning. And he prayed in the afternoon, he prayed in the evening. Mincha is the afternoon prayer. And the Ma'ariv after sunset, or, you know, the evening prayer. But when we look at the thing, we're praying 3 times a day, which, of course, 18 prayers every day. I don't do the 12th prayer, because it was added, and it's really something that was put in there because of believers in Yeshua. But that's okay. Hallelujah. If you want to do it, that's fine with me. Nah. But, you know, when on the little sheet that I gave you, it shows that Abraham in Genesis 19:27, Avram, Abraham prayed in the morning. He got up in the morning and he prayed, and it makes mention of that. And so here are the patriarchs, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yitzchak, Genesis 24, 63. Remember, these are on your little sheet. And he prayed, and it mentions that he prayed Mincha in the afternoon. And then Yaakov in Genesis 28 and verse 11 did the evening prayer, Ma'ariv. And so we have that example, don't we? Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. These are on the sheet. And guess what? Daniel prayed three times a day. And we have the patriarchs praying three times a day. This is a pattern that we see in the scripture. And so it's wonderful to behold. I want us to go to another place. We'll go to Psalm 55. Through the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established. So we're going over to Psalm 55 and take a look at verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Isn't that a wonderful reference to this particular thing of praying three times a day? So, are we as Christians exempt from this? Or are we supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only? I believe that we're supposed to be doers, you know, not just hearers only. Now, if you take a look at this, this is kind of interesting. When you look at that little sheet that I gave out, when the Tadavin Shakrit, the early morning prayers, there's not really a set time, like 8 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, basically said sunrise somewhere, it was in sunrise, and you should get it done before noon. You know, you got kind of a large latitude here, to where you can get your early morning prayers in. And I guess one of the things that we wanted to mention is that the pattern for the Shemona Esrei is that it starts off with praise, doesn't it? We have praise. And then we have petition, you know, and that we find these particular areas petitioning God, giving a petition to the Lord. And then there's the ending, which is the thanks unto God. So you basically have three sections, three parts to this, which is another reason why I eliminate 12, because 12 doesn't fit really into that category very well. But we're praising the Father. We're thanking Him for the patriarchs. We're thanking Him for the blessing. And so we're giving glory and thanks to Him. And then we're petitioning Him. How many of you petition the Lord for different things? And, you know, the needs have been met through our God. We have our needs met in Him. And that is told to us in the Scripture. But still, how do we appropriate these wonderful blessings of God that He has given us? He gave us the blessing of salvation, didn't He? You know, we say Yeshua. Salvation. And He has given us the blessing of salvation, but how do we procure it? We believe it in our heart, and we confess it with our mouth. And he says, you know, how many of you, being good fathers,
You know, you don't even hesitate to give good things to your children. You know, when they ask for a fish, do you give them a scorpion? And the answer, of course, is no. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will give good gifts unto you? But how do we get those things? We ask. We look into his word. We see that they're for us. And we petition him. And he says yes. All the blessings of the Lord, all of the promises of God are yea and amen in Yeshua HaMashiach. Isn't that wonderful? But you still have to ask. He says that he will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Is it automatic? No. It's like going to the car wash and not putting any money in. You could drive through. You get to the other end, you still have a dry car. You have to do certain things. And you know what? You have to do it his way. His way. Not your own way. How many of you realize when you mess with strange fire, you can get crispy crittered? It is not good to mess with God. He has a way of doing everything. Don't touch the cart. Instant. Yeah. I mean, you're out of here. This is supposed to be carried a certain way. I have given you the instructions on how to do it. If your name is Ananias and Sapphira and you're lying to God, guess what? Consequence. And so, you know, you read the word and you say, wow, look at that. That belongs to me. And the question is, will you ever receive it if you don't ask with your lips, believing in your heart? No. It'll just remain a promise to you that you never took advantage of. And so, I don't want that to be the case for myself. Now, I have my tefillin with me. And this one says, Shelrosh of the head. And when I take the little cover off of it, I look, and on one side there is a three-stroke shin, the shin being Shaddai, Shabbat, Shalom. On the other side is the four-stroke shin. All of you are familiar with that one. Yes, you are, because you read the book. He read the end, and he knows the answer. But guess what? When you lay tefillin and you put these on, you spell out Shaddai with a three-stroke shin and with a four-stroke shin. The abundance that's coming to you, because remember, die is enough, right? Die, die, enu. We're going to sing that here, aren't we? Die is enough. Shad, what is the Hebrew word shad? Breast. It is mother's milk. And so the name Shaddai is, there's enough milk here, enough substance for everyone. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Enough to go around. There's going to be enough for you and you and you and every one of us. I don't want to be like the little child, though, standing in the back of the room. I'm starving to death. I never get up. Well, get up there. I mean, get up there. What's wrong with you?
You ever seen a little run of the litter? You got to pretty much pick them up and get them up there, right?
Well, Shaddai is in the feminine. And he is our God. And there is enough to go around. And when I look at this, when I lay tefillin, it is Shaddai spelled with the three stroke shin, the patriarchs, and the four stroke shin, the matriarchs. Hallelujah. All of this is involved. Every bit of this is involved. And guess what? There is enough. And you want to look at the four stroke shin? Yeah. So you can see it on this side here. The three is on this side. And you can pass those around.
And wonderful. And of course, when you have the shel yad and you put that on your hand and you're wrapping and you've got the shin, and you also, and what's wonderful is when you get to the place where you're wrapping it around your finger, you're singing this wonderful section from Hosea 2:19-20. And of course, Rebbe did that this morning. Ve'arashti li le'olam, ve'arashti tikh li besterech, uv mishpat, uv chesed, uv rachamim, ve'erachich li be'imuna, ve'yada'at et Adonai. Who is the Lord? He is the Aleph and the Tav. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Lord. And I will betroth you to me forever, and I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in judgment and in mercy and in compassion, and I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And these are wonderful things. One of the reasons why every week we do the Vahavta and the Shema, the Vahavta, Vahavta Adonai Elohecha b'kol levavcha u'v'kol nafshecha u'v'kol me'odecha. V'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzvokha hayom alavavecha. V'shina tam labenecha. V'diba tabam v'shiptacha b'vetecha. V'lektacha v'derech. V'shakbacha u'kameka. Ukshatam laot oyedeka, vahayu la tota foot ben inecha, uktam tam omazuzot beteka, uvish ar echa. The reason that we do the Vahavta, and you shall love the Lord your God, is that this is also part of laying tefillin. We do that wonderful section, you know, like I said in Hosea, when we wrapped it around our finger, reminding us of our commitment in marriage to the King of Glory. And then we also do the Vahavta from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We do that and the Shema. And it tells us that we should have these upon our forehead and upon our arm. We should have them. We should have the word of God on the doorposts of our house. We should have. It reminds us of our commitment to him. Unfortunately, I would not really want to do those prayers if I really wasn't doing that. Because God wants us to be a doer of his word and not just a hearer only. And, you know, we were told all of our lives that, you know, we've been delivered from all of this. One of the problems with being delivered from the Bible is this is a big thing here. You're talking to a rabbi, and the rabbi says to you, if Yeshua did away with Shabbat, if Yeshua did away with the need to do things that are Le'olam Va'ed,
that he cannot be God. Because God cannot contradict himself. If he did away with those things that are forever and ever, that are said to be forever and ever, then he cannot be God. So if you're going to tell me that this Yeshua is deity, and you're telling me that he did away with the need to do the things that God himself said, you shall do, and you shall do these forever and ever, Leolam Va'ed, then I cannot believe you, because God cannot contradict himself. God is consistent. His word is his word. And if he said to do it and do it forever, he meant do it and do it forever. And so just the fact that we have said these things in our teachings, we have negated the deity of the one that we say is deity. We have de-deified the Lord of glory. Which is really a big accusation to make, isn't it? And yet it's true. I would say it's very dangerous to, on the one hand, say that he is God, and on the other hand, strip him of his deity through bad teaching. So the traditions of men have to go out the window. If I'm going to be celebrating the feast when I come out of Egypt, and I'm going to be celebrating them in the millennial reign of Messiah, how come I'm exempt now? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? He changes not. We sing that every week, too. Let's get into this that we're looking at, the patriarchs, the 18 blessings. One of the reasons, and this is one of the main reasons why I want us all to study these, and I had, like I said, the little book, you know, has them wonderfully written out. It's all interlineal, the Hebrew and then the English right below it. Clark can tell you that the easiest language for you to learn is Hebrew, because it's the language of God. And English was terrible. I had to have tutors and everything. It was just... Hallelujah. Don't you, you know, We expect everything to come quick. It doesn't come that quick. Yes. See, that's not part of this class, and I would be glad to answer that question when we get out. But the thing is, what was the sign above the cross written in?
Hebrew.
Answered your question, didn't I? And I could answer it with a lot more answers. And we could take up this entire class just talking about that, the language of the people. In Scripture, in here, you will find a few Aramaic words in the Tanakh. Most all of it is Hebrew. It's interesting to me that the Aramaic for heart begins with the bet or vet and ends with the lamed. The Tanakh, you know, or the Torah, I mean, the Torah begins with the bet and ends with the lamed. The Hebrew word is lev, lamed, vet. When we get into Scripture, they unwound it, okay. Be a class on that, how to wind that back up. In this, the thing is that in the Tanakh, there are certain books where you will find the Aramaic word for heart in the text, and then all of a sudden you're reading on the next page and it's the Hebrew word. But very, very interesting to me that even like the little things that we have in Scripture that are Hebrew, that have not been translated. They were translated because they went from Hebrew to Greek to English. And there are big, bad boo-boos. But we know that it was written in Hebrew, originally in Hebrew, because when you, if you went from Hebrew to Greek to English, you would get the mess that you get. You know? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani is not Hebrew. But that's what you have in the King James Version. My God, Eli, Eli, lama azavtani. That's the Hebrew. And see, there's a difference, isn't there? But if you transliterated that using going from Hebrew to Greek to English, you would get that mess that we have in the King James Version. But if you know Hebrew, you're okay because you know that's wrong. So, getting back to this that we're here to study, the kingdom of priests and a holy nation workshop, huh? Shemona Esrei, the patriarchs. And I sang this in Hebrew when we started this class off. But one of the things that you want to pick up on is this very first one tells us, because here is something that Jewish men are doing, what? Three times every day. I like the fact that the Shemona Esrei is something that all Jews are familiar with. It's not just something that you say, well, you know, Sephardic Jews do this, but Ashkenazic Jews don't. Or they really don't do this in Israel. Or the Chabad Lubavitch do it, but no. All of these Jews are familiar with the Shemona Esrei. So, as a believer, I want to know what it is that they know. And even if they say, well, I don't believe that, you say, are you not praying this three times a day? Are you not familiar with it? Is this not something that is really should be ingrained in you? And so I want to look at these and I want to understand that this is the belief system. Even if they don't believe it, this is the belief system. This tells me where their beliefs are at. Now, when I was in the hospital, and I'd had the heart attack, and they told me I had level 4 damage, and I would not be able to climb Mount Everest ever again, like I ever did. Level 4 damage, that's the worst you can have. Oh, my goodness. And the rabbi, who couldn't get up there because he said, Roger, there's construction. I don't even know how to get up there. I said, look, I had the heart attack. Kathy dropped me off at the corner. I walked in. They said, oh, you must not be too bad. You know? But I had a really bad one. It should have killed old Raj, should have killed me, but it didn't. I'm alive. And I'm here, okay. Level 4 damage, oh my goodness. But the rabbi, he typed up the prayer and he sent it to me, mailed it to me. And guess what? It was a wonderful prayer of God, Hashem bringing healing and health to Roger and restoring me to perfect soundness and all of this. I kept that letter, I'll tell you. And wow, Well, do Jews believe in healing? Yes. How do we know this? We know it because we read it in the Shemona Esrei. We need to know these things. I need to know what it is that they believe about the patriarchs. And then when I look at number two, you are eternally mighty, my Lord, the resurrector of the dead. Do Jews believe in the resurrection of the dead? Absolutely they do. How do I know that? Because I went into the Shemona Esrei, and right away in the number two of the 18 prayers, here it is talking about the resurrection of the dead. Can I talk to Jewish people about the resurrection of the dead? I wouldn't hesitate one iota, or even one little tagin. Hallelujah. Well, I love that. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away. Is there a jot in the Hebrew? There's a yud, which is the smallest letter. How about tittle? Tagin. Very bad transliteration. But when you go from Hebrew to Greek to English, you get that. And believe me, it goes on and on and on. I have like a jillion teachings on how we know what this was written in. We have a lot of examples in the scripture. It's like when you tell people that Jesus did teachings from the Talmud. And they look at you like, well, that's rabbinic. Yes. Yes. And he also said, do what the Pharisees do. Do what they say. Don't do what they do. Don't do what they do. They do it wrong. But they talk a good game. At least they know what the word says. Right? So I'm studying this and I'm looking at this. How about the holiness of God's name? Do they believe in the holiness of God's name? Absolutely. We have that right here in the Shemona Esrei. Now, it's a very short little blessing, very short little prayer. But nevertheless, hallelujah, it's right here. So when I'm talking to a Jewish person, do I have to even hesitate about going there? No. Why? Because it's there in the prayers that they do every day and not just once a day. And they're told to do them in Scripture. They're told to pray at least three times a day. One of the things on your little sheet that I gave you, the one that says Daven prayer three times a day, one of the things that we see on here is that we're going to have a little reading sometimes. We're going to do the Aleinu. A lot of times in our services, people have said, well, you shouldn't really do the Aleinu. And we keep doing the Aleinu week after week after week. One of the reasons is because when you really get into doing this on your own, how many of you don't even need the book? You can just go, Aleinu l'shaveach l'adon ha'kol. Huh? That's right, Lou. We can do it right out of the heart. We don't need the book. Hallelujah. We know the Aleinu. Well, the reason is because they do the Aleinu a couple of different times during the day. Another thing is, I always look at it and say, what is going on in there? What can I glean from this? What can I use from this to be able to talk to Jewish people? Believe me, there's a lot there. I will tell you, meet people on their ground. That's where they're comfortable. I went in to talk to a Jewish lady who happened to be the administrator of a particular school. And when I got in there, I got with her and I sang, Adon Olam Hashem Allah. And she started singing with me,
And she says, oh my gosh, that takes me back to when I was at camp and everything and my Jewish life. And I said, yes, it's the familiar, isn't it? And we know this and we love it and we can sing it and we don't have to hesitate and we don't even need the book. And why? Because it's in our heart and it's written on our heart. Hallelujah. And then she said, there's one thing I have to ask you. What I don't understand, how can anybody be a Jew for Jesus? But you know what? Because I had met her in familiar territory, she allowed me to talk to her and tell her, and I spoke to her for over an hour, and she never uttered a word.
Hallelujah. Because I wasn't anti-Jewish. Believe me, even having, and this is, I say this in all sincerity, not wanting to offend anyone, because I'm like a peace guy, and I don't even like to fire anybody or anything. I like being a boss, but I don't like all that stuff you have to do when you're the boss. And I like peace at all costs, but I can't have it, and all of that. But, and I don't want to say this, but I'm going to anyway. To have a church called the Eagle's Nest, what was Hitler's getaway called? And you're a Jew. And you get an invitation to come and share your testimony at the Eagle's Nest. Hallelujah! Fear gripping your body. Oh, but this is a reformed eagle's nest. This is a nicer eagle's nest. This is a, you know, there are certain buzzwords, there are certain things. What does it show? It shows that you never, ever, ever, ever took history. And history is his story, isn't it? His story. His story. And so shouldn't we be aware of these things? Oh, let's have a party on Yom HaShoah and invite our Jewish friends. But we didn't know it was Yom HaShoah. You know what that says? I really don't care. That's something that you guys do. There's you guys and there's us guys. No, there is Jew and Gentile, one new man in Yeshua, Mashiach. Amen.
Amen?
So here I am, I'm studying the Shemona Esrei, and I'm looking at these prayers, and I'm looking at what is it that they're asking for when they get into these petitions. They're asking for forgiveness. Can I go there? Can I approach them on that basis?
Yes.
Absolutely. How do I know they believe in that? How do I know that they even would dare to ask for that? Is it not a huge piece of doctrine in our community? Yes, it is. And so, there are people in the body of believers that have never even heard of the Shemona Esrei. They don't even know what that is. I went to Bible college and seminary. We didn't study this. Did you study it, Denny? I tell you, I never got an A in this because I didn't get it. It wasn't important. Prevenient grace, I studied that. My favorite one was when they tried to tell us that the Bible was composed of fables and... Well, yeah, I remember I went to United Methodist Seminary. But the thing is that I wrote a paper on that refuting some of these things, and I got an A on the paper, so. But when I'm looking at this, I want the same kind of thing. When I went into debate, when I took debate in college, and I never lost a debate, why? Because I wanted to know what the information was. A well-informed person
is someone who can talk intelligently on the subject. And so that's what we want to be, isn't it? Well-informed. I don't just want to know how to sing this, although, quite frankly, it is nice. But, you know, and to be able to go down and sing them. When we got off the plane in Paris, before you go on to Tel Aviv, and everybody's getting off, and they've got the tefillin, you know, and they're laying the tefillin, and they've got that, where's my little prayer book by now? Did it make it all the way back there? Hallelujah. And they all had their little book. See, they all had this. Some of them were black covered. Really wanted that. But I have the oxblood color. But the thing is that they all had these, and they were back there, and they were singing, you know, chanting and davening, you know, and wow. And they were upset with me because I didn't join them. Did I have a sign on me that said I wasn't wearing kippah? I had no necklace on, Magen David. I didn't have any ring on that said Ani Ladodi, Vidodi Lee. I didn't have nothing. I was there in a white shirt and blue pants with 47 clergy. They didn't ask any of them, but they came over to me and said, why aren't you over there with us? I said, well, I left my tefillin at home. You can use mine. Hallelujah. So I did. I laid tefillin in Israel and did that. And that was great. It was fun. But you know what? There is something that connects with the heart. There's something that connects with the heart. People know if you like people. If you love people, they know. If you're just trying to put Christian notches on your gun, they know that too. If you're just out here to see how many Jews you can bring to Yeshua, they know that too. They can sense it in your heart. They know what your heart is. Hallelujah. Our God says that that will be shouted from the rooftops. I want to bring you in so I can bring you to something where you will never do another feast. Hallelujah. You will never celebrate another feast. You will never go to another bar mitzvah. You will never go to another bat mitzvah. In Pentecostal, that's called wang-doodling. But you have to have that hairspray. Which I don't have any of that. Hallelujah. But you know what? I love all of these things in the church. I understand glossolalia. I understand the theology. I just cannot abide with all of that addition stuff. How many of you know if you add to it? Not good. And it tells us that not to add to or take away from. Tells us that in Deuteronomy. Also tells that in Revelation. At the end of the Torah and at the end of the Brit HaKadoshah. So, that's important, isn't it? Well, it's important for me to realize that here I'm talking to a Jew, and number 7 says they believe in salvation. Now, is that important for me if I'm going to talk to a Jewish person? Can I talk to them about salvation? Out of the Shemona Esrei, the 18 prayers, number 7 talks about salvation. Can I talk to you about salvation? There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And I can take them to the scripture reference for all of that in the Tanakh, as well as show them in the Brit HaKadoshah. When I'm talking to a Jew, do I ever use the Brit HaKadoshah as the proof text? No. Never. Never. You have to be able to do everything with the Tanakh. Hallelujah. And I love teaching that one. Because I have all, you know, the entire Romans road is found in the Psalms. Every aspect of it. We're taught the Romans road to salvation. Hallelujah. And that's great. But now you're talking to a Jew. And you better go to healing, to the Psalms.
And you should be able to take and go through the Romans road to salvation through the Psalms.
There is nothing in the Brit HaKadoshah that is not found in the Tanakh. Not one thing.
Hallelujah.
Somebody the other day called me up and they were going to tell me what Jesus wrote in the dirt. I said, when Jesus wrote in the earth, hallelujah, he was fulfilling a prophecy. They said, well, what prophecy is that? I said, have you ever read Jeremiah?
Hallelujah. He said, well, I didn't know that. I said, well, that's because you're Baptist. And they don't teach that in the Baptist church. He said, what do you mean? I said, I was raised Southern Baptist, baptized in the Gulf of Mexico by a preacher that said, in the name of.
And then you were down under the water hoping he didn't pray long. Because they held you down.
Because remember, every aspect of you has to be covered.
We had fun, though. We had good fun.
But there was more to it than what they were giving me. More to it.
And you know what? We got to grow in Yeshua. All of these wonderful things that are covered in here, even the thing on Thanksgiving, on righteousness. Can we talk to them about righteousness? Acceptance of prayer. Hallelujah. Even when it talks about Davidic reign, the whole thing on salvation is about David and about the son of David. Can we talk to them about that? Do they believe it? Oh, absolutely. And all of that is given to us in the Shemona Esrei. It's like having the playbook for how to witness to a Jew. How many of you have gone out and you've done that? You've memorized this stuff. You've gotten it down. You've got the scriptures from the Tanakh, and you got all that, and you're ready, and you're armed, and you've been out there witnessing to Jewish people like this. Hallelujah. You know, I brought my first Jewish person to the Lord when I was in my 20s. And I didn't know beans back then. Even beans knew more than I did. But God is good, isn't he? Start small. Hallelujah. It was funny because I only mentioned those two different ones. In my lifetime, I brought many Jews to Jesus. Not just two. But you know, as I grow, I get better at it. How many of you expect that? As you grow, you get better at it. But you know what was funny? The first Jews I brought, they were secular Jews to the bone. They didn't even know the Shemona Esrei. They said, why are we born Jews? Mom's a Jew, dad's a Jew. You go to synagogue? No. But you know how they came to the Lord? Both of them had a sick child. Both of them. In both situations, there were, and I prayed for the one, and it was a sick child, and the child was healed. And that man wanted that Jesus, that Yeshua. He wanted that. That's how he came.
So it's not just this, but boy, this helps. And we should know
what it is that, where's their theology? If you give most believers a test on this and say, do Jewish people believe in righteousness? Do Jewish people believe in praying for the sick? Do Jewish people believe in salvation? Do Jewish people, and you'd be surprised at the answers you would get. But we happen to know they do. And how do we know that? We know that because we read the Shemona Esrei. We study these things. We don't just study them. And quite frankly, you know, I enjoy singing the prayers and Atah Gibor Leolam Adonai
Mechae metim atarav leoshia.
You, O Lord, are mighty forever. Isn't that wonderful? You raise the dead. You are mighty to save.
Just that one line. Wow. I want to teach a class on the Shemona Esrei. I want to go through and teach everybody how to sing them in Hebrew and how to, you know, I want to do that. I haven't done it. And I keep putting it off because, you know, it's something that takes big, big commitment.
Big commitment. It's one thing to learn the Aleph Bet. It's another thing to be able to, and to let this come into your heart. I will tell you that just being with a Jew, a man who lays tefillin, and just singing that one line, and then saying, you know what? I'd like to talk to you about the one that raises the dead and the one that saves. And he's the Messiah. He's my Messiah. He's your Messiah. And let's just talk about that. The minute I start to sing this, he's going to know exactly where I'm at. Why? Because if you've done something all your life, hallelujah. When I went over and I was with our brother before he passed away, I got in the living room. You know the very first thing he started doing with me? He was doing the Shemona Esrei. Here we were. We were praying, you know, and all. And he was going through this. Why? Because it was in his heart. Even though his mind sometimes was not all there, his heart was there. And what had he hidden in his heart? These prayers. He knew them. He didn't have to have the prayer book in front of him. He knew them. He knew the melodies. He knew every aspect of it. And when his wife wanted somebody to sing for his 90th birthday, out of all the cantors in Omaha, she had me come and sing for him. And you know why? Because we love Yeshua. There's an extra ingredient, isn't there? It's the Yeshua ingredient. So we study these things, and they help us, and they help us be more familiar with the community that we really are called to minister to. What? First. To the Jew first, and also to the non-Jew. We've gotten it backwards, haven't we? And we've said to everybody else, and oh God, help us if we ever have to talk to a Jew. Because quite frankly, remember, they have their covenant and we have ours. How many of you know there's a dual covenant teaching that's out there too? They've got theirs, we've got ours, they're okay, we're okay. No, that's not okay. Hallelujah. It's not okay. It puts you off doing what the Great Commission tells us to do. And that is to take this to all the world, to the Jew first, and also to the non-Jew.
Yavarech Adonai v'yishmarech, Ya'ir Adonai panavelech, Yisa.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.